Any questions to our good counselor before we let him out of the lair chair?
Term limits.
Someone keeps coughing term limits. Terry, how do you feel about that?
I wrote a nice little piece in the Hamiltonian on term limits, and I sort of I got some scars after that particular column. Well, I was being tongue-in-cheek and provocative. But
that's the second time a tongue-in-cheek has not worked for you.
It's not working very well for me.
I don't think people get it. I don't think that's your shtick.
I might have to find another method.
Don't try to be Lauren.
But
you're not Lauren.
One of the questions I put to an individual is that, first of all, it doesn't exist in Canada. We got our own value system here in Canada. But secondly, how do you expect a counselor to perform, or how do people expect counselors to perform? How do you measure a performance of a counselor in their last term of counsel, knowing full well that, hey, 4 years I'm gone, I can't run again?
Yeah.
How do you get optimum performance from a counsel in those 4 years?
See, but I think the opposite is true. I think when you take off the shackles of a re-election campaign and actually work by your convictions and work by your values, you'll do better. I really feel that that's the truth.
When you're positioning yourself as a counselor for your future employment when you're not running again.
Yeah, but that's just...
You can fill in the blanks as to which politicians I'm referring to.
I know, Larry, but that's just self... Who are you talking about? Well, that's my go-to response. Larry just left an hour ago. That's my go-to response. Sorry, Larry, but what I'm...
Sorry, Larry who? Grossman?
But what I'm saying is that I would think that when you're not running again, you're able to actually say, you know what, because reemployment is not my prime objective, I can do what I think is the appropriate, risky, tough decision. I'm not working for a job, I'm working for my constituents.
And I love the your thought process around that, and I wish that that could be what really takes place. But to suggest that that a counselor that runs works hard in the first 4 years and say, well, the next 4 years I can take a bit of a holiday and I don't have to work as hard and I can be a little more provocative, I hear you. But I don't know if you really, without having them tested and having them the performance measured in the context of an election in those last 4 years, if you're going to get the type of performance you want.
It's a character thing, because I'm not saying you're going to work less hard. Well, I'm saying you're going to work less hard at getting your job back. You're going to work harder at the actual issues of the...
Well, in some cases, I think that's true. I think in many cases you're not, and then you're going to stuck with a dud for 4 years. So,
right, that's a risk.
So that's the risk you take.
But you know the dud's gone
at
the end of those 4 years. With some of you guys, I'm going to retire before some of you are off council.
And the other argument.
Just saying.
The other argument I put in, I thought it was over. Anyway, the other argument.
It never ends in the lyrics.
The other argument I put forward is that, there was a period of time when Doug Lychak came in, mm-hmm. and you saw a lot of senior managers go.
Rocky times.
Yes, very rocky times where the bureaucracy appeared to be in control and the council was being dictated to. And I really believe that if you lose some of the corporate memory and experience, then who is really running the city? And everyone knows that the bureaucracy is a pretty powerful thing, and they got the corporate memory, they got the experience. And if you don't have counselors that can really challenge the status quo or that bureaucracy to perform...
But you don't need 12 years and three terms to do that, Terry. You can do it in 8. Like, I'm just saying, you don't need to be lifers to challenge the bureaucracy.
That's correct. I'm just giving you yet another argument. But I think the other one, of course, is that... small town Ontario. I mean, this is a macro thing when you're talking about term limits. You can't apply it just to Hamilton. You would have to apply it across.
It's a change in the municipal.
You would have as a municipal act.
But do you understand the principle underlying cough?
Let me finish this though.
Yeah.
There's many communities. I came from a small community in Northern Ontario. Mm-hmm. They struggle to find candidates even to run,
right,
to take the position. And now you're going to put another impose something else on these small communities and say, oh, by the way, you've got to have term limits. And so, the biggest struggle, and I think there's one of the reasons why there's been some resistance, if you take a look across small town Ontario, take a look at how many mayors have been there for almost eternity. Mm-hmm. It's because they can't find another mayor to replace them.
Okay, so can I respond? Because I've listened. The argument that you're saying to control the entrenched bureaucracy, you need a councillor who's not a newbie, someone who's got as much entrenchment so they can see the games that bureaucracy is playing. I get that, but you can figure that out in a couple of years if you're on the ball. The argument that if we change the Municipal Act, it's going to impose an unfair standard on these small towns where civic engagement is at a low ebb, that's all kind and good and very macro of you. But what people are asking for, and you're the one who coughed back there, yeah. So you stand up for it. What they're saying is, okay, don't impose these province-wide arbitrary 8-year term limits. We're not the U.S. presidency. Don't do it. But get the hell off council once you've done your job. Why lifer there? Why stay forever? Why use the rules of incumbency to get reelected?
I think there's a whole group that just cannot be beat. There's a machine that's working
exactly.
Right now to keep people...
No, they're that good at getting reelected. They're not that
that's
good at their job. But that's the problem.
No, hang on.
First of all, I mean, there's a premise here. And the premise is, and as a politician, is how I look at it. People are always right. If I get unelected, I'm not going to be critical of the people. They made a choice based on my performance.
Right.
So it works both ways.
Yeah, but incumbency, so, you know, the voter rates are so low in municipal elections.
But take a look at the percentage that councillors are winning at. So even if you took that argument, which I don't buy, that you got a 20% advantage, most of the councils have won 60% of the vote. So you can't even use that as an argument.
But you honestly think that after 3 terms of office, you can bring as much innovation and excitement and contribution as somebody new?
Any other job. Client of yours in your consulting business, you've had them for too many years, let somebody
3
else...
3 years max, I move on.
Well, that's your choice.
Because, no, but it's because I understand that, you know what, there are fresh ideas my client deserves to hear.
But when you guys stay for 16 years,
it's painful.
Who should measure that?
But I do by my own accountability. I don't have to leave.
But my point is, who should measure that? And the people are always right. They have an opportunity to go to the poll. They have an opportunity to select their candidate. And that is the system that we have, and it's a system that our forefathers fought for.
So let me use that democracy
let me finish that thought. So the question is, the underlying pin for democracy is the right to choose, to choose. If you start restricting choice, do you truly still have a democracy?
So you're saying it's anti-democratic to impose term limits. So let me just go for, you know, I do this periodically, guys. I got to poll the studio audience. Who in this room thinks that a Hamilton councillor should have the democratic right to sit there in perpetuity without any kind of impetus to leave when they're no longer doing good? And who thinks term limits? So put your hands up if you think councillors should just... go with the flow as long as they can keep the gig.
We should
hands
punish
up.
The stupid electorate.
One,
yes.
Two, three. Okay, who thinks that term limits might be a helpful solution?
I'd like to see term limits.
Hamza, hey guys, you're not voting. Susan, Rich, we're doing a term limit versus council staying until they grow old argument. Are you for term limits?
Three terms max.
Okay, so your term limits. What about UV Tech? Term limits, Susan? She can't say. She's that girl sitting there who's not Susan Claremont from The Spectator. Do you want to weigh in? Not first? Okay, so she's on. Mike, what about you?
No.
Not term limits? No? Dave? Lauren?
No term limits. No.
Aaron? No. Reg?
Two.
So I would say that the slight majority here is that you guys should just do the thing and people get to vote you out. And a fair group in here, maybe 40%, thinks that term limits are the way to go. But I think the underlying issue, Terry, is just that it seems as though the incumbents have a shoe-in to the job. And unless a ward opens up, there's no change.
First of all, in City Council, let's get the numbers right. Since 2001, over two-thirds of the council has turned over. Hmm. People don't talk about that.
No, they
don't. How many terms have the mayors lasted since 2001? And then we're talking incumbents. They went down. When I ran, the first time I ran against Jamie West. Mm-hmm. And Jamie West was a TV guy at the time and went to radio.
He wasn't an incumbent, though.
But he had name recognition.
Sure.
Right.
And that's the argument.
Yeah.
He had name recognition. I had to overcome the name recognition, and I won. Barely, but I won. Mm-hmm. And I worked hard, hard. So the second time, I ran against a guy that never lost an election, ever, in the context of municipal politics. And that was Frank D'Amico, who was the former incumbent for the area.
Right.
So it was like me running against an incumbent. And I had to work my ass off again, and
well, you've made
I won.
A compelling argument.
So
was that two-thirds turnover? People who lost or people who didn't take the job again?
No. Lost.
Elsewhere.
Right.
The turnover hasn't been in terms of beating them. It has been people who've jumped
and losses
or retired,
and retirees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, unseating the incumbent by your stat isn't really accurate. No one's unseated those people. They've left.
Well, as many have lost.
Dave Mitchell lost as an incumbent.
Yeah, that's true.
It happens.
So you know what, Terry? You've made a compelling argument that we should keep you guys in on merit, and every 4 years we get to vote either way. Term limit seems like an artifice to impose. And as long as you're conscious of the underlying concern, which is entrenchment and advantage and lack of productivity.
And here's a secret behind that.
Oh, and one more secret, everybody, from Terry Whitehead. Secret number two. The last was the Polish
secret.
General.
My advice is, and I've seen it, we've got a couple of great candidates in this room, quite frankly.
We do, yeah. Who? Martinez.
Martinez being Lord. One. And I want to say to each and every one of them that the challenge is in taking an incumbent on, because I've watched politics a long time, is one, get engaged early in everything you can in regards to the community and show your colors and build your resume. Once you've built your resume and show that you got the battle wounds and the scars, then you establish those relationships with key players in the community, mm-hmm. and then you establish that relationship, and then you work your butt off and get to every door and tell people you're selling yourself. And you got to sell what your values are, what you're standing for, and you better be good at it. Because if you're not good at it, you're not going to get elected.
So
and people that get elected are the ones that are good at it.
So let's end on, what are your values?
My values?
Yeah.
One is that I like to fight for the small guy. I hate to see, I hate anyone to be taken advantage of. Values, I mean, that's such a broad...
But you just said, you got to tell them at the door what
your
values are.
Well, I want to talk are. About values are. So values are understanding that taxes are important to people.
Yeah.
I think that's a value in regards to the building an economy.
Yeah.
I think that's important, a value, and that's one of the values that I have. We have a significant social issue in the city of Hamilton with poverty, mm-hmm. and I think that's a significant value and an issue and a component that you got to talk to people and educate people and create awareness. I think there's so many of them.
Do you like being a counselor?
You choose the ones that you feel that you have strength, and then you convince people that you will take that message and you will deliver when you get to council. You take a look at the short time in council that I've been there. You know. I started the wireless program in the city of Hamilton, downtown.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi. Thanks for that. Yeah.
I initiated the small business.
Yeah, Wi-Fi hat.
The business ambassador program.
Yeah.
I initiated and lobbied all the way through the federal government, the national government, for the creation of the Southern Ontario Economic Development Agency. So when people say, measure performance, I think people are. I think that's why
with
got
the exception of Pasuda, who ran uncontested, Terry had the largest mandate.
So you know what, Terry?
Greg?
Yes,
not even close.
You know, my appreciation for your work and your passion and your motivation has gone up tremendously because you've been a good sport. Hasn't he been a good sport, guys? I mean, he was off the hook. He was off the hook, and then we got into the deep stuff. What's that? He said no epic meltdown.
It's because he didn't drink his wine.
He had some wine earlier. Right. He was nice and relaxed. No, but you've been a good sport. You've let us challenge you, and you've also been candid. And I appreciate it. I'm glad you asked to be in the lair. It was more fun than I thought it would be. I had somebody say, God, not a... No, truly, come on. It means that your image of a rock promoter is not your current image. And I had somebody else on a production team go, not another counselor.
This is not
wrong,
is it?
What's that? This is me being nice.
He didn't suck nearly as bad as we thought he
did. No, he didn't. He did. That's what I...
What are counselor parties like when you all get together?
Ooh, see... Okay, first of all, is that with or without the mayor? Because it doesn't sound like he goes.
What happens? What do they say? What
Susan
happens
asked,
in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Susan Clareman asked, what happens when counselors get together and party? First of all, do you? Number two, is the mayor there? And number three, what happens?
I can say that, one, is there's really, really good relationships right across the table. We've talked about that. Secondly, after council, there's a number of us that... get to choose what ward we go to.
Don't you go to Bronzies and drink?
Well, whatever. We pick the restaurant and we go there and sort of unwind. And no, we don't do city business, so don't file your $100 and look into it.
You think I'm...
Boy, do you want
to... Hold on.
Boy, do you want to sit there for another hour?
Holy shit. He opened open this one up. So I'm not going to spend my $100 to launch an integrity complaint because I want to talk to the media about how I feel. Oh, wait a second. You guys finally had the sanity today to take that down, right? You finally decided today?
You know what? I don't always get it right either.
Terry, that was such crazy shit that your whole, you're not allowed to talk to the media if you file a complaint against council. Who thought that that was democratic, according to our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, remotely legal?
Well, it wasn't a hill that I was going to die on.
Good, because it was a bad hill.
But there was an individual, David Broom, who brought up the complaint filed against police that there is rules and you can't go to the media and you can't talk to the media. So they already exist in the context of a process. Having said that, to me, I heard it pretty loud and clear from the community. I was interactive on the blogs. I had a personal experience that maybe I was a little too close to the forest to see the tree. The trees in the context of my daughter when the complaint was filed against me. And maybe that clouded my, making a sober second thought.
Are you listening to this? Don't you love this? Like, we've got a city councilor here saying, maybe I was too close to it. Maybe I made a misjudgment. I can't always get it right. See, nobody's perfect, Terry, and I'm an armchair critic, and Lauren is too. But all you can ever ask is that somebody says, you know what, I was looking at this the wrong way, as I was with Charlton House, and I said that to Susan earlier. We make mistakes.
Absolutely.
You know, but if you can sit here and own up to it, I love that.
Well,
it's awesome.
And the other message I wanted to give people, and I had this with Mr. Martinez, the discussion we're having is, I think it's so important to listen.
Yeah.
It's not just about being able to talk. And I'm one of those guys that go to council, and my mind isn't made up yet. And people ask me.
Terry said listening's important. Come back and pay attention.
And the media and the media will ask you, what's your position? What's your position? I said, look, I'm leaning this way, but I'm staying open minded, and I truly do.
Yeah.
And I go to council, I listen, and I always felt democracy was about art of debate, art of listening, and taking your life experiences and the reports and everything you know, taking all that accumulated information and making an informed decision, and if I was to suggest anyone that was running, I would hope that that's the type of people we bring to council, are people that will stay open-minded right through the end and make the determination at council
and
on
I
the
hope
council
the
floor.
And councillors who have had a nice long time running the city step aside so those people can come in. That's all I can ask for.
Whitehead is quoting Juan Perón on the art of the compromise.
Wow. I don't know if that's true, but it sounded good. Terry, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's all thank Terry Whitehead. Come on.
Chats in the Lair is a Power Group production. Visit us at powergroup.ca or laircast.com, or check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.